Space Podcast.
Weird.
Hey, I'm back.
Where were you?
Hey. I was over there.
And now you're here.
I'm here now. Man, it feels like forever since I've been in this studio.
You know what? It's been almost 2 weeks.
I know. It's been too long.
It has been 2 weeks.
Does everybody miss me? I bet people in Hong Kong miss me. You know why?
Why?
They're like number three of our countries.
We got to get them up.
Yeah. Like, well, wake up, Hong Kong.
I speak Hong Kong.
No, you don't.
You guys listen more. Tell your friends.
Hey, I want somebody from Hong Kong to message us on our website and tell us their honest opinion of what they feel about your Asian accent that you do. Because it's not, as we said before, it's not mean-spirited.
Craig said, go online and check and leave a voicemail.
Because it's not
I'm interpreting.
I know. Because it's not mean-spirited. It's all in fun. Just like when we say something, you know, say something like this.
Yeah, that's
just
for fun.
Or, some stupid, whatever that was.
Right.
And I would like to know what they think, because obviously Hong Kong has no problem.
Hong Kong is listening.
Hong Kong, we love you, Hong Kong.
Let me give you a hello, Hong Kong. Hong Kong.
We love them long time.
I'll tell you somebody else I love, Zach Demopoulos. You know who that is?
Demopoulos.
Yeah.
Zach.
Zach Demopoulos.
I call him Zach D.
Well, he reviewed Weird on our Facebook page. And
he did it in an odd way?
No, he did it in a great way. He gave us 5 stars.
Right.
He said, these guys make listening to podcasts fun. How about
that? I think Fleetwood Mac said that one time.
No, they did not.
They said, you make love and fun.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a little different.
Yeah, okay, that's a lot different.
That's a lot different.
And they're just weird in a good, complimentary way.
Oh, thanks, Zach D.
Love the show, guys. That's nice.
Who are the show guys?
That's me and you, man.
That's us.
So if you want to leave us a review, feel free to go to Weird News Podcast, and you can leave us comments there.
So serious just then.
And then you can find us.
So if you want to leave us something here.
If you want to leave us a review on Facebook, you just go to at Middle Aged Dudes, or just Middle Aged Dudes, because we still go by that
past. We do, but we don't like to talk about it.
We don't have time to start a new Facebook page.
We are so busy with Hong Kong right now and Australia.
We're so busy.
And the United States.
We do podcasts.
It's crazy up in here.
And Twitter. You can find us at 2MADAAM. Madam.
That's another reason to get rid of that.
So we got that, but you got top story. Since you're back.
I'm back at Lee Berry Studios. Woo!
Top story.
Two men charged for forcing alligator to drink beer. Can you really charge somebody for that?
Yeah, obviously they did.
Wait, are they charging people to do that now?
you owe us $20.
Two South Carolina men each face harassment charges after pictures surfaced on social media showing them pouring beer down the throat of an alligator, authorities said. Who cares?
Obviously, the alligator didn't mind. If they had his mouth open, he could have.
Here's the deal. The alligator knows at any given moment he could drop those jaws down.
That's right.
And then they'd shove their fingers in
his
nose.
He obviously liked it.
This is dumb.
It is dumb.
Joseph Andrew Floyd Jr., who is 20, and Zachary Lloyd Brown, 21, both of Ridgeland, are accused of harassing wildlife, the State Departments of Natural Resources said in a news release. Harassing.
Harassing wildlife.
Well, they just kept calling and calling. They come by and they call me names, and then they came by and they shoved some beer down my throat. I'm just tired of the harassment.
I'm suing.
The incident took place on Wednesday in Jasper County, located in the coastal region in the southernmost part of the state. The men admitted to investigators that they picked up the juvenile alligator. Well, that's the problem.
There
he
go.
Was underage.
That's it.
After they saw it crossing the road, why did the alligator cross the road?
To get more beer.
To get more beer.
Obviously.
They forced beer down his throat and watched it swim away in a nearby pond with a big smile on his face.
What's the crime here?
He was underage alligator. Pictures posted on social media alerted officials the next day. We started to receive a lot of emails and phone calls about this. People had taken screenshots from Snapchat accounts. The agency spokesperson, Kendall, I don't know why she sounded like a man, McConchy told CNN, in one of the 6 photos obtained by CNN from authorities, the alligator's neck is being squeezed. I'll squeeze an alligator's neck if it gets too close to me. And a beer can is pressed against its snout. The text on the photo says, Gator Shotgun.
Okay, let me ask you, seriously. Me and you in a car driving through South Carolina for some reason.
Right.
Maybe we're going hiking on the,
we're going to the beach.
Sure. Okay, we're going to the beach.
Why would you and I be going to the beach?
Hiking.
Yes.
We're going hiking.
Okay.
Alligator is crossing the road. I slam on the brake because I'm driving.
Right.
Because your car wouldn't make it to South Carolina with us without us having to pull over and charge it every couple hours.
Right.
So I'm driving. I slam on the brakes, and you say, "Hey, there's an alligator. Let's get out and force beer down its throat."
Or they say, "Hey, watch this."
Yeah.
Which never begins.
What kind of person, that's the thought that comes to their mind?
I mean, who's the person that says, "Hey, watch me get that close to an alligator"?
Absolutely.
Like, I'm not wanting to touch the alligator. I might get out and watch him until he started making a move towards me, and then I get back in the car.
Yeah. I'd get out and take a few pictures.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, it gets uglier.
Oh, no.
Other photos show beer being dripped into its mouth while its neck is held tightly. Another picture shows smoke being blown onto the face of the gator. Okay, now we're into secondhand smoke.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
You've crossed the line. You know, a little beer now and then for the alligator.
That's okay.
That's good, you know. Keep his kidneys flushed.
Yeah. And I think he was above age in alligator years.
Probably. Yeah. I don't know what the math is on that. Besides the state misdemeanor charge of harassing wildlife, I still think it's hysterical, harassing wildlife, Floyd and Brown, from the offices of Floyd and Brown, they also face a maximum fine of $300. Well, that might be worth it. There is federal protection in place to ensure alligators are legally harvested for international trade, but for cases like this, no federal protection applies.
There's no laws.
Natural Resource said.
There's no laws on the books about forcing beer down a gator's throat.
No. Alligators are protected under state law and even federal law, where they're still listed as threatened solely due to the similarity and appearance to other endangered crocodilians worldwide.
It does say crocodilians.
SCDNR Alligator Program Coordinator Jay, his name is Butt Filosky, added. I mean, you know, I'm sorry. You know, there are areas here. Was there more?
What's Jay's last name?
Butt Filosky. Butt Filosky. Butt Flosser. Hey, wait, before you get to the local.
Okay.
So, you know, there are areas here where I know that, like, rattlesnakes
are
protected.
Place. Yeah, it's insane.
We don't have a rattlesnake shortage.
No, we don't.
Why are we protecting snakes?
That's crazy.
Why do snakes have more rights than you?
Now you're trying to make my blood boil.
I just want to say, if you are on the side of the snakes, I want to see you hug one and kiss it on the lips.
We had that story two weeks ago.
If they had lips.
Yeah.
And then I want you to tell me what happens.
Yeah.
And then
hospital bed.
Then you tell me if you think we should be protected. I understand they have their place.
Yeah.
I get it.
Have you ever seen anybody in trouble for killing a rattlesnake?
My understanding is out in one of the parks here, out east way,
yeah,
that it's big deal if you get caught. Yeah.
Well, Lori and I hike quite a bit, and if I ever come across a rattlesnake on a trail, he's going home.
I want to get one of those taser canes. Walk around with
yes.
It.
Just for fun, I do that. Okay, can I do this now?
Yeah.
Fisherman caught with three times the legal limit of bass after mooning landowner and tipping a porta potty.
Okay.
This comes to us from Aaron, Tennessee. No relation.
No, it's related to you somehow.
Houston County authorities on Saturday charged two Clarksville, Tennessee men with several wildlife violations after they were found in possession of more than 40 fish, which was well beyond the legal limit. Two men, Mark Stephen Jones.
Again, is there a fish shortage?
I don't know. Maybe it's just not fair.
It's like chicken wings.
What are they going to do with 40
fish?
It's
like chicken wings. They're so expensive. Why? Is there a shortage of chickens?
Yeah.
There's no shortage of chickens.
I don't even eat chicken wings. It's so not worth the hassle.
I don't know.
You got a little bitty piece of chicken. Anyway, that's a whole different topic.
Get back to the 40 fish these guys.
All right, these two men, Mark Stephen Jones, age 35, and Robert Earl Wildridge. You think Robert Earl won't cause some trouble? With a name like
Robert Earl.
This ain't his first brush with the law,
no,
I assure you.
No.
We're each charged with three counts of over the krill limit of bass.
Krill limit?
Over the krill. Man, those kids are driving me over the krill.
Wait, write that down. Another band name. Over the krill.
Illegal possession of wildlife and not having a life jacket. Bond for both men was set at $1,500.
Not having a life jacket, that's just being a jerk.
Yeah.
Now you're just at the point where you're like trying to come up with
yes.
whatever.
I'm surprised they didn't charge them with being dressed poorly.
But here's the deal.
Yeah.
And if we have any Tennessee wildlife officers out there, you know, the game wardens.
Yes,
wardens. Don't think I don't appreciate you.
No.
But I do want to say something.
What?
You guys are kind of like jerks. I mean, because they do their job and they do it well, and that's why I'm saying that I like these guys. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But, man, these guys are known for getting pretty sneaky.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys will, like, sit and wait for hours for people. And I get it. It's totally cool.
Yeah.
But when you get to the point, I get it, poaching deer, poaching this, poaching that. But
yeah,
you start
poaching
getting,
eggs.
Getting a guy for not having his life jacket on.
Yeah. That's
because it wasn't like that was all he got charged with.
No.
It was because
they were looking for stuff.
He added it on to the end of it.
Yeah,
but actually, I do appreciate those guys. They're good. But they're just, like I said, don't mess with
them. I wish they'd open up, let you get all the turkeys you want, because in our area.
All the turkeys?
Turkeys. There's turkeys all over the place.
No, turkeys are all over the place when you're driving down the road. When you're hunting for them,
no,
they're nowhere to be found.
Can't find them. Tennessee Wildlife Resource Officer Nick Looper said that they had 35 small mouth bass, three largemouth bass, two red eye bass. Those are the ones that didn't get any sleep the night before, and two channel catfish in a cooler.
I thought those were the bass that flew overnight to get here.
The statewide limit for black bass, and
that is racist, sir. You take
combination
that
is only 5 per person, making the duo 30 bass over the limit. This is one of the biggest over-the-limit cases in game fish I have seen in my 10 years of being a game warden, Looper said. It's rare that if you catch people doing it. And in this case and others involving creeks, all of the access is through private property. So there you go, Craig. Next time you go fishing around here, just make sure, you know, you only take 5 bass.
You didn't get to the next part of the story.
No, I cut it short because I thought it was getting a little long here. You know what I'm saying?
I know, but it gets to the next good part. Can I read the next part?
Go ahead. Yeah, finish up.
The landowner. Okay, wait. The arrest came after a Houston County landowner reported two men trespassing on his property after fishing on Yellow Creek. I wonder why it was yellow.
Don't drink that water.
Looper said in a news release, here's the part I want you to hear.
Okay.
The landowner told responding sheriff's deputies that when he confronted the two men, they mooned him and tipped over a portable toilet.
Oh, I forgot that was even in the headline. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to it.
That's why I'm finishing it, because you will not.
Thank you.
I will do the work you will not do. These two fishermen allegedly caught all of these fish on only a 2-mile stretch of the creek, or the crick, as we might say.
Well, that 2-mile stretch is a little crowded.
The catching and keeping of this amount of the smallmouth on such a sensitive smallmouth fishery can have devastating impacts on this creek. Okay. We set creel limits for a reason. That's so the resource can continue. Okay. Here's the thing.
Right.
Don't they always pull that out of their back pocket? It can have a devastating impact.
I wonder what those guys were going to do with all those fish.
Everything's a devastating impact. Don't fish lay like a gajillion eggs at one time?
Yeah.
I mean,
quite a few caviar.
Do you have a fish shortage?
No. Not that I know of. I'm not a fisherman. I don't even eat fish, so I don't know.
We're not fishologists.
No, we're not fishologists.
So we're going to hope that the people up in Houston County know what's going on.
Yeah, so they mooned them, and then they tipped over a portalet, and then got arrested.
Yes.
That's the bottom
line.
That's it. Yeah.
Okay, so you know we love the Florida stories.
Only because there's so darn many of them.
And we get to hear that song.
You talking about this song?
Yeah.
So I sent you this whole MP3, but you say that's really the only good part of the song.
It's the best part of the song.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. Don't get me wrong, dude.
Yeah, I've only heard it like once.
No, it's pretty good. Okay. It's not great. I mean, that is like, we're getting off going down some rabbit hole here.
I'm sorry. In
Florida, I went deserting. Florida police seek $25,000 swan sculpture stolen by naked man.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I don't like the sounds of this. Authorities in Florida are asking for the public's help finding a large $25,000 swan sculpture stolen by a naked man. The Polk County Sheriff's Office said surveillance cameras at Lakeland Cold Storage were recording just before 5 a.m. May 19th. Well, they should probably record after 5 a.m. also. Seems like that's a very tiny window to catch something going on. When a naked man carrying a 5-gallon bucket squeezed through a gap in the fence.
Wait a minute. Naked man at a cold storage? That's a bad combination. Go ahead.
Do you call that buck naked or bucket naked? The sheriff's office quipped on Facebook.
Sheriff's got a sense
of
humor.
They got a sense of humor. A 2015 Ford F-150 pickup truck was seen minutes later driving away with the giant black and white swan sculpture in the back.
Well, at least it's not racist.
No, it's all inclusive.
Yeah.
The pickup truck, which was stolen, was later recovered sans swan.
Uh-oh.
And the man... For all of you out there, including Aaron, that's without the swan. And the man in the security camera footage was arrested Tuesday, but he's been mum as to the swan's location. So we have a naked man, a bucket, and a very expensive and very large stolen swan. We know who the man is, and we have the truck back. But have you seen the missing swan? Call us. We want our swan back, the sheriff's office said.
Man, that's, you know what, that'd make an interesting movie, I'd have to say. A man, a bucket, and a stolen swan. I'd see it.
I got nothing. I started making a really bad
I'd buy
something.
A ticket for that.
I'm saying, hey, just go to the next thing.
Here's something for you. Jelly Belly sued by a woman claiming, you know what she claimed, Craig?
She didn't know it had sugar in it.
She didn't know the jelly beans contained sugar. When it comes to food, it turns out you could sue for just about anything these days. A California woman is suing the makers of Jelly Belly jelly beans.
She wants free jelly beans.
So do I.
Yeah.
Those are the best. Those are the best jelly beans in the world.
They are good. But there's one thing about them you don't do.
What's that?
Do not walk up and grab a handful and throw them in your mouth.
No, you get a
mixture
of wild.
I knew better.
Yeah. They're so the amount of flavor in that one little bean is like mouth explosive.
Someone had a jar of them in their office at the place I worked at a few years ago. I walked in knowing good and well not to do this.
No, you don't do it.
I grabbed a handful, and I'm pretty sure it tasted what a dumpster tastes like.
Oh, yeah.
It was disgusting.
Everybody has one Jelly Belly they do not like, too.
No, but you don't put them together.
No. Now, there are some that go great together. Banana pudding and chocolate.
No, that's what I was going to say. There's recipes that go together, but don't just throw them in your mouth.
No.
They don't go together. With great power comes great responsibility.
I enjoy every flavor except for juicy pear. I do not like the juicy pear Jelly Bellies. Why are you looking at me like that?
That was just such a random flavor to say.
Yeah.
I like all the other ones. I love making the peppermint patty ones. And all I remember we used to only get them in a department store. You couldn't really find them anywhere.
They were real expensive back then. They're still,
and they came in little bitty
pretty,
bags. Yeah. And they had the recipes printed on the back
That's
of
right.
them. And
I remember that
Do you remember that time we had a podcast and we were telling stories and then we just stopped and started talking about jelly bones?
Jelly bones.
What are jelly bones? Is that when you don't get enough calcium?
That's when you eat too many jelly bellies.
You don't have enough calcium.
A California woman is suing the makers of Jelly Belly jelly beans, claiming she was tricked into believing one of the company's candy products was free of sugar. The plaintiff, Jessica Gomez of San Bernardino County,
from California,
first brought the case against the candy company earlier this year, blaming fancy phrasing
her argument in court
for her confusion over the ingredients, according to Legal News
they
Online.
They done got me with the fancy phrasing.
Gomez purchased Jelly Belly's sports beans, a product marked as an exercise supplement containing carbohydrates, electrolytes, and vitamins, which list evaporated cane juice on the label instead of citing sugar as an ingredient.
Okay,
who
it says containing
do
carbohydrates, which would be sugar.
Most likely. And I've seen these beans. I never had the sports beans, but they're to give you energy. You know, they're good. Nowhere on there does it say sugar-free, diet, anything like that. But this is in California. She'll probably win.
Given that it's California.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, what do you got now?
Yeah. I bet this is going to be good.
Oh, yeah. After you read this, I've got actual audio.
Preacher phones God.
Oh, wow.
And his whole congregation believe him.
You talk about a long-distance phone call now.
Beep, bop, boop, beep, bop, beep, boop, beep, boop. Hold, please, for God. A preacher claimed to be on the phone to God during a bizarre church sermon. Incredible footage has emerged of Pastor Saul Sengigor, claiming to be chatting to the Almighty.
We'll just call him Brother Paul.
He is walking among his congregation, chatting on his phone. In the clip, Pastor Paul, 32, starts the call with, "Hello? Is this heaven?"
Before, and if you don't believe it, I've got audio after the story.
Before pacing up and down the pews as if he was speaking directly to him, a woman can be seen on her knees with her arms raised and crying as he says, "I have a woman here. What do you have to say about her?" The controversial nut job of Victory World International Ministries in Zimbabwe claims to have a 5,000-strong congregation and has previously given out...
Okay.
Given out door prizes. Yeah. According to the Times, he once hired a doctor to confirm he killed and resurrected four people in 2015. God. Speaking to the media, Pastor Paul, or they like to call him PP down there, he said, I actually have a direct line, which I can call him and get instructions on how to proceed.
Please.
I got this when I was praying and heard a voice telling me to call direct.
Oh, my goodness. Well, here we go. This is actual audio of the sermon.
Yes, Father!
Is this heaven?
Yes, Father!
Is it heaven?
Yes, Father!
He had to repeat himself.
I have a woman.
Please insert
here.
Another $1.25.
What do you have to say about it?
Tell her to change churches right now. Boy, they're going nuts over phone call.
Who is Sibo? Sibo. Who is Sibo? Oh.
Oh.
Oh. Okay. Hold on. Hold on.
All right.
Okay.
I didn't know they spoke
what
English
else, Papa God,
in Zimbabwe.
What else, Papa God? God is telling me to ask you, why is it he's showing me a hat?
A hat? It's going to rain.
Ah.
It's one of those umbrella hats.
Yes.
What was that?
God had a bad connection? I don't know.
That was weird.
I'm telling you, there's more to it, but I'm going to cut it off right there.
That's actually a better story than I thought it was going to be, because I thought it was going to be somebody here in the States or something. It was just going to sound like some crazy guy.
Oh, that would have been funny,
though. Actually, this guy's fun to listen to, because he's probably – I'm not convinced he was trying to really convince them that that's who it was, that he was just doing his thing and got into it, you know?
No, I think he was trying to convince them. It was pretty weird.
I got nothing. You know what? I'm speechless for a change.
When you go to court,
do I have to go to court?
What
have you heard?
What's one thing you would take with you that you definitely wouldn't leave at home?
A lawyer?
No. Well, that, yeah. He'd be better.
A live monkey in my purse?
Yes, a live monkey in your purse. Headline is, courthouse x-ray scanner finds live monkey in purse. And, of course, this comes to us from Bay City, Michigan. It's not unusual for security personnel at the Bay County Court facility to see visitors attempt to bring odd or prohibited items past them. Recently, though, something particularly exotic, even tropical.
Like a banana?
Nearly made it into the courthouse.
Like a pineapple?
I'm sure there was a banana involved. A squirrel monkey stowed away
in a paper. Is it a squirrel or is it a monkey?
Recently... former Bay City roller,
oh, nice.
Linda Stevenson, on Thursday, May 18th, visited the facility at 1230 Washington Avenue and put her purse on the x-ray machine to be scanned.
She's not concerned that the monkey doesn't need that x-ray, right?
No. I pushed the button for it to go through when it started making noise. Yeah. That's never made that noise before, said Bay County Sheriff's Court Secretary Deputy Pat McIver. Well, he could have made
a bomb out of anything.
A monkey.
He could have taken the monkey and the banana peel and turned it into like a nuclear weapon.
I was like, what is that? She goes, oh, that's my monkey. The x-ray captured an image of the diminutive Simeon's skeleton with Stevenson's purse. I said, I need to see your monkey, McIver said. She unzipped her purse. The monkey stuck its head out to look around and then it zipped it back up.
Huh.
He said, all right, I'm going back to sleep. McIver told Stevenson she could not bring the monkey into the building. She returned him to her car, then quickly conducted her small claims-related business inside the courthouse without her monkey. Sans monkey, Craig.
Sans monkey.
Sans monkey. After her business concluded, Stevenson was stopped by McIver on the way out and asked to bring the monkey back inside. And she said, well, which way? What is it?
You want to, what do you want? At first, you don't want the monkey. Now you do want the monkey.
And then he's outside. Back inside where some of the other courthouse staff could see him. Stevenson obliged, bringing the monkey back to the security station. She opened her bag, and the monkey climbed out on her arm, then climbed up onto my arm and across my shoulder, McIver said.
Pulled out a mini machine gun and mowed everyone down.
When she instructed the primate to return to her purse, he did as instructed. Stevenson said the monkey, whose name is Apollo, mm-hmm. will be 10 months old on June 7th, and she has had him since October.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like a good monkey story.
Sure.
I thought she was going to bring the monkey back and they were going to confiscate it or something.
I thought Davy Jones was going to be in the story somewhere.
Too soon.
You know, he could fit in a purse. You know, I met Davy Jones one time and carried a conversation with him, and I really enjoyed it because he was about 6 inches shorter than me.
Really?
Yes.
Did you really meet him?
Yeah, really.
And now he's dead. Are you happy?
I didn't kill him.
How do we know that? Ooh. I do like a snake story.
Don't we all?
Visitor releases boa constrictor in Midlands Park.
Now, why would you do that?
Because you're stupid.
Why would you even have a boa constrictor with you to release?
Because you're stupid. A visitor who thought boa constrictors were native to South Carolina.
Like you said.
yes, I did. Released one in a Midlands Park, according to officials. Congaree National Park posted on its Facebook page that rangers received reports of a visitor releasing the non-venomous snake Sunday night. They feel like they have to say non-venomous, like we can just ignore the fact that it's a constrictor
and exactly.
will kill you.
They're venomous without poison.
They're deadly. They're not venomous.
they're deadly.
You just let your weird...
You know what they are? Deadly, without venom.
You sound like people we read about. The snake reportedly was released along the park's boardwalk near stop number 3.
Under the boardwalk.
You think they asked the snake where he went? Goes, yeah, just take me to stop number 3. No, I'm fine.
Somewhere near the boardwalk.
Just
near
the boardwalk. The visitor was under the impression boa constrictors already were in the park and established.
Sure.
Neither is true, park officials said. Congaree National Park officials added, it is never appropriate or legal to release a non-native or even a native species in the park.
That makes sense.
Even native species that have been rehabilitated, so they've been off the been off the sauce for a while.
They're rehabbed.
May have picked up diseases while in recovery that can decimate populations within range.
Man, he's got a vocabulary.
Yeah, he does. As well as doing great harm to other animal populations, the park posted on its Facebook page. They always go to that.
Yeah.
The fish guys. Oh, it could be detrimental. It could be devastating to the fish population. The snake guy. Oh, it could be devastating to the... You know what? No.
Yeah.
No.
Boa constrictor, yeah.
No, I'm saying... He was saying if you show up with a rattlesnake that belongs in there...
Yeah, but it could
have
diseases.
Don't do it because he could have diseases.
No, you kill it.
Do we really care if a snake has a disease and gives it to the other snakes?
No, that would be awesome.
Oh, my God.
You'd be knocking out all kind of
problems.
We're
going to get letters.
Are you?
I wish
we would.
Hadn't said that in a while. Anyone walking on park trails who sees the boa should run.
Absolutely.
And they should report it to the park staff immediately. Boa constrictors are native to Central and South America. They grow up to 13 feet long, weigh more than 100 pounds, and live up to 30 years. Just wait it out. 30 years will be dead. They also give birth to up to 60 live babies.
Oh, that's a...
We need to have a scary snake theme.
We need a nightmare theme.
Yeah, we need to add that.
Okay.
We need to add this.
There it is. I got it.
The report of the snake comes at a time when the park is expecting an increase in visitors stopping by to catch a glimpse of the synchronized fireflies.
I want to see that.
That is actually supposed to be really cool.
Yeah.
There's some weird
phenomenon. They have them in Gatlinburg.
Yeah, there's some phenomenon where they actually get together and go.
Light up. Stop.
Stop. On. Off.
Light.
Stop. On. Off.
Light three times. Stop.
Do you think there's like one firefly that's going?
They're all coming. Yes.
It's hard to clap on microphone.
Well, don't clap on your microphone.
Oh.
Here's a headline, Craig.
What?
Goldfish covered in cheese and posted through letterbox in neighbor's dispute.
I mean, that sounds like, right? You know what that sounds like to
you
me?
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to see you.
That sounds
cheese.
Like weird gold right there.
Despite enduring their most trying week on record in the aftermath of Monday's devastating terror attack, officers were called out to deal with a rather bizarre dispute between neighbors. But this was no ordinary neighbor's dispute. This neighbor's dispute involved a dead goldfish covered in cheese being posted through a letterbox.
That sounds delicious.
The surreal scenario was shared by officers in Middleton in Greater Manchester after the call out yesterday.
So we expect radical Islamists to not come and blow things up in Manchester, but we can't expect our own people to get along over a goldfish and cheese.
It just doesn't make sense.
How can we get along with the terrorists if we can't get along with our neighbors next door?
Goldfish and cheese does sound like a pretty good sandwich, though.
If it was the cracker goldfish, maybe.
No.
You're the cracker.
Hey, that's racist. Yeah. GMP Middleton tweeted, "Today we've dealt with a neighbor dispute where a dead goldfish covered in cheese has been posted through a letterbox."
Posted, get it?
Uh-huh. I kid you not. He ended his tweet with, "I kid you not."
I kid you not. Pigeon caught carrying large stash of drugs in miniature backpack.
We got to do something about these pigeons and
if
their drugs.
If we do not get these pigeons off the road.
Got to get them into rehab.
We need to get them off the
streets.
Where's
Mike Tyson?
Off the road, like they're in the middle of the road.
Well, they may be.
Get these pigeons off the street.
Mike Tyson, help.
Yeah.
Hey, these pigeons, get off them drugs.
Yeah. Sure, you know what I mean?
Pigeon, I talked to you better than that.
And they've all got that same tattoo on their
vicarious.
Eyes.
It's totally vicarious.
So.
That's my Mike Tyson.
That was good. Can I go now?
Go ahead.
A pigeon has reported. What did the pigeon report? No, I'm just kidding. A pigeon has reportedly been caught by custom officials carrying illegal drugs in miniature backpack in Kuwait.
He said,
which I saw those.
It wasn't me. It's not my backpack.
I'm not going to sing like a canary. I'm no jailbird.
He said, I'm holding it for a friend bird.
I saw the little backpack. It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I mean, if I wanted to, you know, you think they put something really like crazy in it, like diamonds or something.
Oh,
that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
A fabric pocket attached to the back of the bird was found to contain a total of 178 pills. It was actually ecstasy is what it was.
That's a lot of pills. That must have been a pretty big bird.
Yeah, the bird was in a really good mood, though.
Yeah.
The ecstasy made him really, he loved everybody. He was kissing and hugging everybody.
Take my backpack.
Drugs.
Get over here.
Drug smugglers apparently used the animal to fly across the border from neighboring Iraq. It's pretty ingenious.
Yeah.
It was intercepted above a building near Kuwait's customs department, according to Al Alarabia. I just didn't know how to pronounce it. It is thought the drugs were a form of ketamine, although this is yet to be verified.
Yeah.
I read that it was ecstasy. Is that what that is?
I have no idea, dude. I'm not up on my drugs.
Good answer.
Yeah.
Local media in the region has widely reported the case, and apparently officials have known for some time that smugglers were using pigeons to transport drugs.
That's really smart.
This is not the first time a pigeon has been caught carrying drugs.
Uh-oh.
In 2015, guards captured a pigeon flying cocaine and cannabis into a prison in Costa Rica. The bird was caught as it flew 14 grams of cocaine and 14 grams of cannabis into the facility, stuffed into a pouch attached to its body. You know, and the cut that that bird gets off of that deal.
They caught it because it had all these Doritos with it.
It had these like 2 liters of Mountain Dew.
Yeah. All right. Headline is Rain of Fish Falls on Elementary School in California. You know, we've had stories before of it raining fish, Craig, and this is just another example.
I know the weather girls sang about it raining men.
Yeah, they did. I saw them, actually, one time in concert.
Why would you admit that on a worldwide
They opened
podcast?
Up for Eddie Murphy when I saw Eddie.
You know, his girl likes to party all the time.
And yes, she does. So, students and teachers at Stanford Elementary in Oroville, California, thought that they had been the victim of a prank on Wednesday, May 17th, when they showed up to school to find the entire area, including the building's roof, covered in dead fish.
Was it a Predators game?
Oh, good one.
Hey, I got a little thing in there on the sports.
I like it.
Hey, that was me making a sports game joke.
While we're at it, how about them Predators?
How about them losing?
Well, they lost the first game.
First of seven, am I understand.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
Okay, however, their disbelief turned to bewilderment.
Why do they get multiple chances and nobody else does? You don't have, like, best of seven, basketball, football.
Thank goodness. However, their disbelief turned
could
to
you imagine if there was? Mm. Could you imagine if there were like
all these times I try to get you to talk about sports, and now you wait to the middle of a flying fish story?
Could you imagine if it was best of seven baseball games? It'd never end.
No, it'd be well, the World Series is best of seven, you big goof.
Okay. Dang it, I should have stopped while I was ahead.
However.
Didn't the game go on forever? Does it ever stop?
It does. It stops. However, their disbelief turned to bewilderment as it started to rain fish again during school classes and recess, according to the school's librarian, Rachel Thompson. So you're sitting there in school, and you look out the window, and fish are just falling from the sky.
And it's not a Predators game.
Experts believe that tornadic water spouts could be responsible.
You know the guy's actually getting arrested.
Yeah, the one out of town,
in
Pittsburgh.
No, he's from here.
He is from here, but he was in Pittsburgh when he threw the fish.
Oh, was that where they played?
Yeah.
I'm derailing you left
yes,
and right.
Yes, you are.
But I'm derailing you, and I'm talking about sports.
Yeah, and that's fun
and you
for
like
me.
That.
I do love a good Predator story.
They really play seven games in baseball, huh?
Yeah, yes, they do. Hmm. I've seen small ponds literally emptied of their water by a passing tornado, so it wouldn't be unreasonable for frogs or other living things to rain from the skies, said Professor Ernest Agee from Purdue University in an article for WeatherWise magazine.
So since you kept getting interrupted, let's just explain this real quickly. Apparently, a water funnel. What do they call them?
A water spout.
Water spout sucked up a bunch of fish, dropped it on top of a school.
Yeah, that's a long story
fish
short.
Free fresh fish for everyone. Say that fast.
Yeah.
Until the Tennessee wildlife guys show up and start charging you for having too much.
The school is now in jail.
And none of the kids were actually wearing life jackets at the school. Husky apprehended after stealing bread from Dollar General.
What is up with these criminal animals? We've had drug dealing pigeons.
If I saw a husky, which is a beautiful dog, stealing bread, I'd be like, here, take the $2.
Sure.
That's just too good.
I'll
pay for that bread.
Yeah.
That's just, wow.
Yeah. We got to do something about these criminal animals.
I know.
Yeah.
Hey, anyway.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I was just thinking about that cute little husky going there getting some bread.
He
was probably hungry. Probably
saw a picture of him in jail.
Maybe he had like little pups that were hungry.
Had him in jail.
A California police?
Just one. Yep.
Shared security camera footage of a Siberian husky that wandered into a Dollar General store and stole a loaf of bread.
Poor puppy was hungry.
He couldn't get the peanut butter jar in his mouth. Employees at the store in Shafter?
Yeah.
Said they were initially amused when
I loved him in Star Trek, William Shatner.
They were initially amused when the husky wandered into the store Wednesday. This dog came in, and he was really friendly, looking around. Dollar General worker Abby Lopez.
Do they get a lot of dogs coming in, looking around?
I don't know. The employees jumped into action, Really? I don't think so.
They said, here, puppy.
When the pilfering pooch grabbed a loaf of bread and ran for the door. Security camera footage posted to Facebook by the Shafter Police Department shows a worker named Steven struggling with the dog in the
really
store's
necessary?
Doorway. But the husky escaped with his ill-gotten loaf after a piece of the bag breaks off in Steven's hand. Okay, here's the thing. Unless something, most companies, if somebody shoplifts, you don't go after them.
No, you let him go.
People get fired.
Yeah,
so why would it be different?
Because people get killed.
And the dog could turn around, bit, and hurt the guy. He probably should have just let him go.
He was obviously hungry.
Here's the deal. They're going to write it off anyway because it's not going to sell.
It's a loaf of bread.
It's a loaf of bread. Get over it, Dollar General.
They'll be tossing it out in 3 days anyway.
That's what I just said. They're not going to, you know, come on.
Yeah, really.
Police said the female dog and a male husky accomplice were captured the next day when they returned to the scene of the crime.
Sure. The one dog said to the other, they're giving away free bread over here.
Well, they ended up getting greedy, which is why they got caught. And unfortunately, in this case, the culprits were apprehended.
Yeah, they were.
Said Nick Riddick, a police department's animal control manager.
If you have problems with criminal pets, you call Nick Riddick.
Hey, ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
He had one more thing to say.
What'd he say?
Well, no charges will be filed against these bandits.
Oh, funny. Were they raccoons? No, they were dogs. No.
Riddick said the dogs, which did not have tags or microchips, will be put up for adoption if they are not claimed by their owner. Put them to work. Let them work off that bread.
All right, here's a story, Craig, that I actually heard on the news, and it kind of blew me away a little bit. A woman finds that her fake diamond ring from 30 years ago is actually a real 26-carat diamond.
That's a big ring.
That's a
and
big
it's
rock.
Not fake.
No, it's real. She always thought it was real.
Tell me how much that's worth.
It's not worth as much as you think.
I'm looking at the bottom, and it's worth. I'd take it.
I'd take it too, but I was surprised that that's all it was worth. 30 years ago, when a London-based woman found a huge, gorgeous, and fake diamond ring at a car boot sale. You ever go to does your car wear boots?
A car boot. That's the trunk.
Yeah. My car wears boots sometimes.
Yes. I didn't know if you knew that was actually the trunk.
Well, it explains it right here. It's almost the equivalent of an American flea market. She knew she had just had to have it. After negotiating a $15 price, she bought it for $15. The deal was pretty much a steal, and the ring became the woman's most coveted staple, even during the most mundane activities.
She loved the look of it and didn't care if it was fake.
Didn't give a flip.
Because it wasn't.
And it's all right. The ring, decades later, after she got this ring for $15.
Decades later.
After a jeweler alluded to the fact that the ring might not be so fake after all, the woman had the ring appraised. Turns out that the costume gem was, in fact, a very not fake 26.
Is that the actual term for it?
That's what they said.
Instead of authentic,
26.27 carat diamond.
Wow.
The ring is now in possession of Sotheby's London, where it would be auctioned off on June 7th. Jessica Windham, a representative for Sotheby's London, explained that the ring was most likely cut in the 19th century, explaining why it was able to go unnoticed for so long.
I wonder what their cut is.
With an odd style of cutting, an antique cushion shape, the light doesn't reflect back as much as it would from a modern stone cutting. Cutters work more with the natural shape of the crystal to conserve as much weight of the crystal rather than to make it as brilliant as possible. So this ring is estimated to go for up to $455,000.
That's a good number.
That's a real good number. If you've only paid $15 for it, that's a nice investment.
That's a good, yeah.
Yeah, it's for the lucky woman who found
it's
the gem.
$440,000 profit.
That's nice, just for about 20 or 30 years.
Actually, it's not even that. It's a lot more than that. I really don't do math very good.
No, she's chosen to remain anonymous. Craig?
Because she'll have every friend of hers, quote unquote, showing up wanting money for something.
Yes.
Okay, you know where we're going now, don't you?
What are you talking about? Are we going over here?
Australia. Land of the Australians.
You got to wait till the kangaroo.
We're waiting.
Land of Adam Johnson.
Are those two different people?
No.
Adam and Johnson?
No.
Right. Okay, you know what we got going on down there now, right?
What's
going on down under?
Yeah.
Boys as young as 8 are caught tram surfing in Melbourne.
Tram surfing?
They're jumping on the back of these things.
Oh, my goodness.
Kind of like jumping on the streetcar or something.
What the?
It goes, a group of boys spotted hitching a ride on the back of a Melbourne tram have been labeled irresponsible by a Yarra tram spokesperson. That person has spent every day of their life going to work, punching in 9 to 5 just for a chance to talk down to somebody.
To an 8-year-old.
That's irresponsible.
Well, I'm only 8.
Onlookers were shocked.
Sure they were.
On Sunday when they saw the youngsters, believed to be between 8 and 14 years old, ride the back of a moving tram around 4 p.m.
Oh, my goodness.
What if they'd done it around 3:55?
Yeah, that's much safer.
A married couple, glad to know they're married, Steve and Anita, who witnessed the hooligans. Now they're hooligans.
Poor kids.
They were just like kids a minute ago. Now they're going to be dirt by the time this is all over.
Terrible.
They're going to be humans. Said they were worried for the safety of the boys as they grasped the rear window wipers and sides of the rain-soaked tram that was moving along Flinders Street.
That's one of my favorite Hitchcock movies, Rear Window Wipers.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Flinders Street.
No, that's probably a good one, too, but I haven't seen it.
If they'd fallen off, they have killed themselves because the tram was probably going as quick as it could down the straight.
Sure.
I don't even know what accent that is.
That's pretty good.
Mate, Stephen told the Herald Sun. He said there were at least six of them clinging on for dear life. One of the older boys was trying to get himself higher up onto the roof.
Sure, safer up there.
People were looking in amazement at these boys hanging on the back of this tram as it's hurling down Flinders Street. Flinders Street, whatever. Flinders.
Whatever.
The husband and wife believed half of the group got off at Swanston Street. The boy captured in the photograph surfed through to Elizabeth. Oh, for the love of all that's good. He surfed all the way to Elizabeth Street.
My goodness, that's got to be at least a mile.
A Yara Trams representative said the behavior wasn't good enough.
Well, you think?
I don't know. Well, I said he's been waiting a long time to say something like this. I'll get to get on camera now.
That behavior, nope. That's just not good enough.
He says, not only is it a great risk of injury if you fall off the moving tram, it also places other road users in danger, the spokeswoman said. I don't want to sound like a man. She said anyone who witnesses the behavior should tell police or the driver of the tram.
Well, what good's that going to do?
Yara Trams, Yabba Dabba Doo Trams, advises their operators to stop if people are found to be surfing and ask them to move on before continuing on. Drivers are also expected to notify an internal operation center.
It's a twofer. We go from Australia all the way over to Australia.
From Australia to
Australia.
You don't have to wait for him to sing.
We got this headline. It says, Australian man.
Okay.
Australian man injured after shark jumps into boat. So we got sharks jumping into boats. We got pigeons carrying drugs. We got huskies stealing bread.
We got guys pouring beer down alligators' throats.
Drunk alligators.
My guess is the alligator and the shark knew each other.
Working together?
And no, the shark's come to get some beer.
Maybe that's it. An Australian fisherman has described how a 440-pound great white shark leapt into his boat, knocking him over and lacerating his arm. Terry Selwood, age 73.
How bad does it have to be to let a shark jump into your boat and then while he's there cut your arm?
Terry Selwood, age 73, had dropped a line at his usual spot at Evans Head in New South Wales when the animal launched itself out of the water. Flying sharks. Maybe it got caught up by a water spout. He said the 8.8-foot shark landed in the boat, which measured about 5 meters, and grazed him with its pectoral fin. Mr. Selwood was rescued after radioing for help. I was losing a good... Wait, that ain't even close.
No.
I was losing...
Like you ever are that close anyway.
I was losing a great deal of blood. I was stunned. I couldn't register what had happened. And then I thought, oh my gosh, I've got to get out of here, he told the Australian Broadcasting Corp, ABC. But there I was on all fours, and he was looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and I said, that's not a shark. And then he started to...
How about some shrimp on the bobby, mate?
Then he started to do a dance around and shake, and I could not get out of there quick enough. Bill Bates, a member of Marine Rescue
Evans... Does he know Microsoft?
Yeah, Bill Bates. Has said his crew found Mr. Selwood standing on the side of the road covered in blood.
Standing on the side of the boat, you muppet, you muppet head.
Same thing. The boat was on the road, okay? We offered the owner of the boat and gave him an immediate first aid and stabilized the bleeding, he told the BBC. It was a 5-meter boat, so you can imagine that there was more than enough room for people
there
when the shock was
no
in there.
No more room for people, you crazy...
I got a microphone in front of my face.
You crazy Aussie.
I'm having trouble seeing the words. The crew brought Mr. Selwood to shore following the incident on Saturday, and he was taken to hospital. He has since gone home. New South Wales Fishing Authority said the animal would undergo an autopsy, which was standard practice for any deceased shark in good condition. I wonder why. Just to see how many license plates it's eaten? This enables us to take tissue and blood samples for ongoing science and research purposes, a Department of Primary Industry spokesman said. Mr. Selwood said that it was his most dramatic shark encounter in 60 years of fishing.
Well, it was also my only shark encounter in 60 years.
I think this time I might find a crocodile to wrestle, just to stay in the limelight, he said.
Wow. Now, why does Australia, why do they say take you to hospital? Here we say take you to the hospital.
Yes, but you know, some places around here are actually catching on, and they're just starting to say hospital, too. I've noticed it on the news and whatnot.
They just say take you to hospital?
Yes, take you to hospital.
That sounds weird. Hey, is it the Flash Chackus time again?
That it is.
Flash Chackus top 10 disturbing facts about Facebook.
Well, there's more than 10, but these are the top 10.
These are top 10.
Yeah, this comes to us from listverse.com. Number 10. Facial recognition.
These are disturbing facts
about
these
Facebook.
Are things that should keep you awake at night.
When a friend tags in a photo on Facebook, this information is added to Facebook's giant stack of data. The social network
just
has
throw it over there in the other stack.
The social network has AI bots that sift through all this data and do pattern matching
with
your face.
I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Number 9, Facebook knows where you are at all times. Yes, in front of my computer.
Or phone.
If you have the Facebook Messenger app, the chances are that you didn't tell it to stop sharing your location. Okay, well, that's on you.
Number 8, using Facebooks makes you feel...
Using Facebooks?
Yeah, if okay. you use more than one. Number 8, using Facebook makes you feel worse. Worse than what? I don't know. The more you use Facebook, the worse you will feel. Heavy use of social media has been shown to cause a host of different problems, including decreased face-to-face relationships, increased sedentary behavior, and erosion of self-esteem through...
Did you say self-esteem?
Through unfavorable social comparison.
Number 7. Facebook creates an echo chamber for your views.
What does that even mean?
Facebook gets you to stay around by curating what they think you would like to see.
Huh.
What? And then it says episode 84 underneath it. What the heck is going on here?
Number 6.
Wait, no, wait. What is number 7? Facebook creates an echo chamber for your views.
And it says, I have no idea what that
Facebook
means.
Facebook gets you to stay around by curating what they think. An echo chamber for your views. Okay, so they look at what your views are, and then they keep
post
throwing
stuff
at
yeah.
you about that.
Number 6, Facebook negatively influences people with eating disorders. A small study with 84 college women at Florida State University found that those who use Facebook more often were more likely to report disordered eating. Does that mean like when you eat your dessert before your meal? That's disordered.
I don't even know what to say.
Because I do that all the time.
They're saying that people, women that use Facebook a lot also have an eating disorder?
Yeah, something like that.
Whatever. 5. Facebook makes lonely people feel even more lonely.
Really?
After only 2 weeks of use, Facebook led to a steep decline in subjective happiness. You know what else makes people feel lonely? Being lonely. having friends.
Number 4. Facebook knows more about you than you think.
Good. Maybe they can help me sort some stuff out. Number 3. Facebook engages in political censorship.
Well, we knew that.
That is true. Yep. They've purposely edited stuff.
Number 2. Facebook will happily sell your
That's
data.
That's how they make money. You
No, they make money through advertising.
They do, but they make a lot by selling your information. No, sell your data. Who you are, where you live. Are you being facetious?
No, I'm just being mean.
Oh. Facebook knows what number 1. Right?
You got to build it up. You can't just jump into it.
I hadn't jumped into
and
it
And the
yet.
Number 1. You got to go like that.
And the number 1... What was the thing we were doing? And the number 1 top 10 disturbing facts about Facebook. Number 1.
Yes.
Facebook knows when you are sleeping.
Well, so does Santa Claus.
They know when you're awake. They know if you've been bad or good.
So, be good for goodness sake.